Live from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is The Blitz with Rick Butler, Chance Collins, and Brandon Orrick.
Today, live on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, broadcasting live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio. Broadcasting live on the radio, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM. Hello, everybody. Welcome in. Today is Thursday, September 24th, 10:06 AM, Friday, Saturday, 2 days till game day here in Tennessee. Well, I guess technically the game day is going to be in South Carolina, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because we are so close to the turn of Tennessee football. Brandon, you said that maybe by Friday you'd be at a full peak amped up mode. Today's Thursday. Are you working your way up the ladder?
I'm fine.
Low T.
This is ridiculous.
Low testosterone.
You need to go watch ESPNU at 12:30 at night and buy whatever supplements that they're trying to sell you on the infomercials, and maybe it'll pick your tea up.
I don't need my tea picked up.
I'm disappointed.
Why?
I am. We've waited this whole offseason for this moment right here.
Is it Friday?
Where's your excitement?
Is it Friday?
Do you need Friday to be excited?
Yes.
Why?
Because. Just because. I'm not going to get excited yet. I mean, I am internally, but I don't need to express to everyone how excited I am for this game in 2 days.
I feel like you do.
Are you too manly to be excited about something?
No.
Toxic masculinity?
Uh-huh. I think that's it. You know, you got to have this kind of persona, you know, that nothing really gets to you, either for good or for bad. You're just kind of stonewall.
I'm Brandon. I don't get excited for game day week. I don't do that anymore.
You just wait.
You brought this on yourself. Okay.
I'm an adult. You know, it's just a game.
You come here with the helmet on tomorrow.
Checkerboard
coveralls, the helmet. You would never catch me. Eye paint. In those.
Thank you.
Ugh.
You wouldn't wear the overalls?
I know Charlie has worn them.
Oh, I
bet you he has worn them with no shirt.
It's on his
Twitter
account.
I've worn them with no shirt and been caught surrendering the Cobra on CBS at the front row in Tuscaloosa.
You wouldn't catch my dead corpse in those.
Ooh. Well, then that. Yeah, well, I mean. Yeah, look, I don't want to go in a morbid way, but if we got to bury you, I will bury you in some checkerboard overalls. I guarantee you.
No, you will not.
I guarantee you now.
Says he's going to do it.
Man.
Charlie's excited for the game day week, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. I'm very pumped.
When are you leaving?
You're making the trip, yeah, right.
Are you leaving tomorrow or are you leaving Saturday?
Well, Morristown West plays Morristown East tomorrow night for the city championship, so I'll be there.
Hold the old city championship.
Ooh. Yeah, I'll be there, and that'll be a thriller. And then I'll head out Saturday morning after that.
Who is the reigning champion right now?
Morristown East. But we're taking it back.
We. You got a mouse in your pocket?
I think that's Rick's favorite thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's back-to-back days. You've asked me that.
Back-to-back
days. I'm going to bring a mouse
one
of these days.
Back-to-back? You weren't here yesterday.
Oh. Yesterday does not exist.
Guys, we got a bunch of good stuff to talk about today. First and foremost, we'll talk about what all Jeremy Pruitt said yesterday to the media. Kind of giving a little bit of an update on some of the players, where some of the players stand right now heading into game day coming up this Saturday, as well as Jeremy Pruitt's making it known that he believes that Cade Mays should be eligible to play. And there's really nothing else that can convince him otherwise. I mean, go ahead.
I'd say just play him. What are they going to do? What are they going to do? Just play him. Face the consequences later. What does it matter? Is anybody really if they retroactively say that we didn't win those games? Ooh, I'm scared. Play him. And the guy at Ole Miss, he should play too.
Yeah, just all play these him guys, anyways. All these guys
Joey Gatewood too, at Kentucky.
So here's an interesting quote, and we're going to dive all into this later, but here's a little bit of a tease for you. Here's just one quote from Jeremy Pruitt yesterday. I know he's met with lots of professional, and he submitted it to the NCAA, talking about Cade, and they thought he was good to play this week. Nobody from the SEC has reached out to talk with Cade. We're sitting here on a Thursday, 2 days before game day. They're traveling tomorrow, and nobody from the office has even said anything to check in. I mean, how just disrespectful is that? How asinine is that?
Well, what is Fulmer doing? Why have we not called them?
I think we have. I know that, you know, Pruitt had talked about that he had been in contact with the SEC offices. I don't believe that he was in contact with Greg Sankey himself, but at the same time, Brandy, you're totally right. Like, yes, the head coach should be actively trying to do this, but at the same time, the head football coach has a game to worry about coming up this Saturday.
Well, that's not Jeremy Pruitt's responsibility. I'm talking about Fulmer.
That's
why
what I'm saying.
Fulmer?
Where is Phil Fulmer in all of this? Why? I mean, you got to think that he would basically have enough pull to at least say, hey, can somebody at least go contact him? Can somebody move the papers and wipe away the dust that have been collecting since last week? It's mind-boggling. It really is. If you want to tell me eventually that, hey, the SEC came to a decision and they said that Cade Mays cannot play, well, that's one thing. But just the idea that nobody cares enough or they are too scared of the backlash that will come out, so they're just not going to do anything? I mean, how many times have we all been there in our own life, right? You know you have to do something, but you just really don't want to do it for one reason or another. So you kind of just let it sit. You kind of just let it fester off to the side. You just deal with it later. This is what they're doing to a kid trying to play football. When the president of when basically the principal of the school has already told them they're good. Doesn't make sense.
Well, I mean, there is a rule. I mean, there's the rule about intra-conference transfers. But to me, it still doesn't make sense just because all the rule changes that have happened in 2020.
Right.
With basically everybody being eligible.
Right.
I mean, like I said, there are rules that kind of ban immediate eligibility for intra-conference transfers. But
well, and that's why, you know, I was saying that, like, hey, if they came out with the decision that, hey, Cade Mays is not able to play, then that's one thing. Because at the very least, they're going to basically point out where in the rules they decided that, you know, they made that decision from and everything like that. To think that that's not even happening, though. To think that no one's getting an answer. Like, I'm frustrated that we haven't gotten an answer. Cade hasn't even been talked to by anybody. That's why I can't stand this idea of them basically saying, you know what, we're just not even going to address it because we don't really feel like it. Like, maybe they don't have to address it. But it seems like somebody would have at least reached out to Tennessee. Somebody would have at least reached out to Cade if they had any kind of morality to trying to help out this kid in this situation. And I'm not saying help out by making him play. I'm just saying help him out by taking a little bit of the uncertainty about the future away. The kid doesn't even know if he's going to play on Saturday.
I said play him.
So that's just a little bit of the start of the conversation. We will certainly work back into that coming up here in the first first segment. But other than that, other than some Tennessee practice notes, we'll be looking around the SEC, kind of coming up some of the some of the games week one again. We will look at the Eastern Conference Finals from last night as we move into game five in that series. The Western Conference Finals is tonight, so we'll kind of preview that a little bit too, maybe get a pick along the way, see if Denver can maybe even this thing up. I don't know. And then we'll also kind of look ahead to NFL week three, so on and so forth. Guys, the MLB is wrapping up right now. I mean, there is a ton of stuff going on, and I can't wait to get into it all. Plus, coming up at 11 o'clock today, so right there at the top of the second hour, we will have Chance. I believe the name is John Whittle.
Correct.
So we will have John Whittle of Gamecocks 247 right here on the show to preview a little South Carolina-Tennessee football.
The Big Spur.
The Big Spur.
Actually, the name of their website, I guess. Interesting.
You know, I don't like their live mascot.
You don't?
Sir Big Spur. I don't like
their live SBS.
I don't like him.
You're not big on the SBS.
Sir Big Spur.
I don't like the ginormous statue that they just got this year, but I am a fan of having live in person.
I do like live mascots.
Well, yeah, I do too. But I don't like him.
Interesting. You like
He's
Bevo?
Got this. Huh?
Bevo? You still love Bevo?
Yeah.
Hey, he's your favorite.
I love Bevo.
He tried to kill Ugga.
You loved that day.
I don't like Ugga, though.
No, I don't either.
Hey, wait. But, hey, here's a story from 2 days ago.
About Sir Big Spur?
Yes. Oh. From the State publication. Why the Sir Big Spur Rooster won't be at South Carolina football games this season. He won't be there.
They banned all live mascots.
What? Yeah. Smokey won't be
the
there either?
Smokey will not be there. On live mascots
That's
during the
no,
coronavirus.
No ban on field, no cheerleaders on field, no mascots, nothing.
But they're afraid that
No running through the tee, no halftime.
Although, Brandon, the school did confirm that the mascot, Cocky, will be at the bottom of the stadium's section 24.
Can we just let Sir Big Spur roam free throughout the crowd then?
He's got like this little, it's like a truck. This little cart that just carries him around. I'm not kidding you. I've seen it with my own two eyes.
And Charlie, hanging out with you as we are making our way through the beginning of the show today here on a little bit of a rainy Thursday morning. It's supposed to pour today. Just all day rain.
Beta.
Beta?
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
That's where the rain's from.
What?
The Tropical Storm Beta.
Tropical Storm Beta?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah,
where is this bad boy?
That's what this rain is.
Oh.
Was that the hurricane that hit?
I didn't even know we had a tropical storm on the loose.
What, did you just not pay attention to the news?
No, I don't pay attention to the weather around the country. I pay attention to the weather here.
It hit Texas.
The weather app didn't say anything?
I'm not in Texas. I'm right here. No, my $4 weather app only tells me Knoxville weather.
It's just 57 degrees. It's going to only get up to 66, and it's going to rain until at least for the next 24 hours straight.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called fall and a tropical depression.
Good.
Moving through.
Oh, is it gonna...
Beta.
We need an alpha, though. You don't want to be the beta. You want to be the alpha. Either way.
They don't have one.
It's going to be raining today, so I don't know. Just be tuned into the radio station all day. You got nothing better to do. All right, guys. So Tennessee hit the practice field yesterday afternoon, and then Pruitt spoke to the media afterwards. And I thought that he had a couple of really interesting takeaways as we kind of combine what he was saying with what we already know from the unofficial official depth chart. I guess that's backwards. The official unofficial depth chart. So I'll go ahead and kind of start reading through the quotes, and then we can kind of talk about each one, see if there's anything we can kind of find out of each. But here's what he said. First off, quote, "Well, at the linebackers, we'll play Crouch, Banks, and Beasley. I feel like those three guys have had really good fall camps and continue to gain knowledge of the defense. As far as a pass rush, I said this earlier today, there are a lot of different ways to affect the quarterback. You can sack him, you can disguise, get your hands up and bat balls, get him off the spot. We have a lot of unknowns there, so we'll play a lot of guys at those positions because we feel like there are guys that have earned the right to play. DeAndre Johnson and Kevon Bennett are obviously the guys that have the most experience. Hopefully, we can get those guys going and give us a chance to be productive at that position. Biggest thing to me there from that quote was when he says, talking about that defensive line, talking a little bit about the linebackers in this, we have a lot of unknowns there, so we'll play a lot of guys at those positions because we feel like there have been guys who have earned the right to play. What stands out about that to you?
Well, I mean, for one, I'm just happy that we're going to be able to bring the full roster, right?
Full 70?
Yeah.
Yeah. I believe that South Carolina maybe said they're only working with 69.
Nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think it, I mean, like you said, it's, I think it speaks to the depth that they've built. And I mean, these guys earn the right to play, then they should play. And then, I mean, obviously things are different practice, and if they don't perform well in the game, then obviously you trim back the rotation a little bit. And
does it make you nervous at all that Tennessee doesn't necessarily have any standout guys there at that position?
No, I don't think it should make you nervous because, I mean, they do have some guys that they're leaning on, and he even said it right there. I mean, he talked about, Kayvon Bennett, and also, what was the other guy you mentioned? Sorry.
DeAndre Johnson.
I mean, he's talking about those guys. He's talking about Crouch, Banks, Beasley as well. So, like, you have your guys that you know are going to make the impact. I mean, he doesn't have to bring up Hank T. We know what Hank T's going to do.
Sure.
He's going to be all over. He's going to be side to side. He's going to be a leader out there. He's going to be the captain. He's your Mike. I mean, he's going to be the guy that's getting people in place. So, like, you don't have to really talk about the guys that are understood because they also understand their roles, and they know that they are the leaders. But I think when people, if they get kind of reserved or nervous that he just didn't pinpoint, you know, and say that we just a couple guys, and he says we have a lot of guys, that's great. That's where you want to be as a defense in the program. Brandon talked about depth. I mean, we look at the great programs who win championships. Most of the time they have a lot of great depth. They have a lot of guys that can come in and could start on many other teams across the country.
No doubt.
Looking at Alabama, looking at Clemson, looking at Ohio State in previous years. Like, that's what you want. You want to get to that position where you have, like, your Mr. Footballs in the 2D, you know? Like, where you got guys that they may not be playing because there's somebody better in front of them, but they can come in at any time and you won't really skip a beat. I think you want to have that deep rotation platoon to where you can rotate guys in and out when you need to.
Yeah, I mean, you guys both just talked about competitive depth, and that's something that Jeremy Pruitt's preached since he got here. Competitive depth is what really differentiates good programs from great programs in my eyes. When, I mean, you have competition at 2 and 3 deep, and you can get a good look from them in practice, and they can step right in case of an injury. It just makes everyone better if you have a lot of guys competing. And yeah, and Tennessee's approaching that right now, and I feel confident about the linebacker positions. I mean, obviously, middle linebacker I feel great about, but these outside linebackers, we may not recognize any of them as, like, well, we look at them as your stars or your defense or these huge playmakers or anything right now, but I think that there's a chance that we're looking at in week 6 or week 7, we're like, wow, he's really playing well. This guy has stood out. He's gotten off the edge well. He's defended the run well, set the edge well, and I think those freshmen could be impactful too. Morvin,
Joseph,
and shoot, who's the other one?
The big three. I don't.
There's Memphis three.
There's two that have really stood out at outside linebacker from what I've seen. It was Morvin and one other one.
But when you think about it too, think about it to an extent like this too. Everyone, when you have those guys behind you, competitive depth, and you know that the person behind you can come in and fill in without skipping a beat, without having a blunder, a miscue, not knowing the play, not knowing where to set up, you kind of, as a player, you can give it your all every play. I know they're more than likely going to be giving it their all every play, or they should be, but when you think about it in a psyche way like that, I can give 110% every time if I'm Hank T. The person coming in behind me, he knows how to put people in place, he knows the calls, he knows the plays, he knows the, you know, the disguises, the blitzes, the packages, everything. So, like, every play I can give them all. I don't have to, like, reserve some energy, or I don't have to be cautious because I don't want to maybe hurt myself because Bum Bill behind me can't right. come in and line up because we're going to lose if Bum Bill comes in. So it's more an advantage across the board.
Not to mention, I think that, I mean, we are going into year three of a Jeremy Pruitt defense on this team. And I believe that is also year two of Derek Ansley in addition to that as well. That has always been my most confident part of this defense. I know that we have had good talent, and I know that we have had, almost exceptional talent at certain times. We have guys who are in the NFL right now who were playmakers on the defense last year. But at the same time, I have always had the most confidence in the scheming ability of this defensive coaching staff.
Well, I mean, to that point, though, you are breaking in two new guys on the defensive side of the ball at their position coaches. Shelton Felton, his first year at Tennessee, and then Jimmy Brumbaugh.
Mm-hmm. And also Felton, in the middle of a very limited preseason, if you will.
Right. And we've talked about kind of how Tennessee's depth at tight end is lacking. And, I mean, right now we still don't have a tight end. Joe Osovet, it's his first year as tight ends coach. So I'm interested to see how these position coaches do.
And Niedermeyer, too. As well. I mean, Niedermeyer switched around his position as well. He was still on the staff, but
switches from tight ends to linebackers.
Exactly. So kind of interested in how all of that's going to work together. You just talked about Joe Osovet with the tight ends. Here's what Pruitt had to say about the tight ends. Austin Pope is not going to be ready in play and probably won't play this year. He's still rehabbing, and we'll see where that goes beyond this year. That's something we already knew. But a little bit of confirmation that, hey, doesn't look like Austin Pope is going to be ready to play. You kind of go back to the depth chart that Tennessee lined up, and you have Princeton Fant, Sean Brown, Jacob Warren, Jordan Allen. And those are all guys that also Pruitt had mentioned will get playtime at some point this year. I think at the beginning of the year, you might have a big rotation on tight end until they kind of figure out, hey, who's going to be our guy?
Well, I mean, I think they probably have an idea of probably two to three guys that they want to roll in there, and then we'll make a decision based off who performs well.
Yeah, for sure. And then we have the quarterbacks. And I know that this is always one of the biggest conversations. This is always one of the biggest points that people want to hear about. Here's what Jeremy Pruitt had to say about the quarterback position, and especially about the backup quarterback position. Actually, let's do this. Let's tease that. We're gonna give you what Jeremy Pruitt had said about the quarterbacks. He is addressing the backup quarterback situation. We'll give you what he said coming up next, right here on the Blitz. All right, look, I know what you want. We're 2 days away from Tennessee football. You want to hear about the quarterback. It's what you want to hear about all offseason. It's what you want to hear about now. Here's what Jeremy Pruitt had to say. Quote, I think all of those guys are really close. You know, Harrison and Brian both missed a lot of practice time. Harrison missed the first 4 days, and Brian had a hand. I love him calling him Brian.
It's his name.
I know.
What do you want him to call him?
It's just funny because we always refer, you know, I feel like Maurer is just the typical name, but Brian is just such a standard name.
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
I feel like I never refer to players by their first name.
That's what I'm saying. Me neither. So it's just funny to
me. Well, yeah, but I feel like it's different for their coach.
The coach to do it, yeah.
I refer to some players, but it depends on the player. Like,
well, I don't do it because I don't know them.
Yeah.
I mean, well, some we do. Like Juwan. We all were like, well, Juwan's going to go make that.
Or like
grab.
Alvin. I feel like people say Alvin.
Brian. I'm only going to refer to him as Brian now. I just think that's funny. Anyways, Harrison missed the first 4 days, and Brian had a hamstring injury during camp. You know, we really only had 21 practices going in, so when you talk about missing four or five of those, your opportunities go down. As we had about 40 to 50 guys out for probably 8 to 10 practice stretch there, we didn't get a chance to do a lot of two-spot in that one position that really suffered from it being the quarterback position. Just being able to get those guys reps, it was tough to do. We'll probably wait and make a game-time decision. Whoever the backup quarterback is this week might not be the same guy next week, because the circumstances have changed now in probably the last four practices. We've been almost at full strength. These guys have got more reps, and we'll just play it by ear as the season goes. Anybody have any kind of gut reaction to what Pruitt's saying there about the quarterbacks. Kind of the part that stands out to me the most is whoever the backup quarterback is this week might not be the same guy next week. And that's understandable.
I mean, can we not just figure this out? It seems like we can't figure this out. You got a starter, and you have a backup. Can we not just roll with those two until someone gets hurt? Then we can shake things up. Can we not just decide, like Chris Winkie, Jim Chaney, Jeremy Pruitt, what are we doing over there? Can we decide on a backup just so we can know, just in case, heaven forbid, JG get hurt? But can we have a plan just in case?
Well, I feel like you would have had that. Like, I feel like they want to make that decision, but no guy has really stood out for them because of so much missed time. Like, I feel like they're all pretty much on the same level right now. If you take Harrison missing a bunch of days, if you take Brian missing a couple days, then you take Shrout, but, you know, he's been there the whole time. I feel like they're all relatively on the same page, but I am with you. I am so sick of not having the, you know, this thing down. And granted, hopefully this doesn't even come up. Hopefully it's not even a problem. But it is interesting.
I hope, man. I hope it's never even an issue. I think best case scenario, I think, is JG goes out as the starter, plays well enough to not lose the job. Better than what we've seen him play, plays consistently. I think that's your best case scenario, right? That you never have to go to another quarterback, that he stays healthy. Hopefully that's something we don't have to worry about. But as we've seen in years past, it's not been the case.
Hey, did you know that Carlos Filsaime is sitting out this season, but
yes,
also might return in January?
Yes.
Very interesting.
And he graduated.
Yeah. Did you also know that ESPN did a full piece on JG being the undisputed starter? They wrote a full headlining piece on Jarrett Garantano.
Big time.
Says Garantano has started 25 of his 34 games played, throwing for 5,062 yards with 32 touchdowns and only 13 interceptions. That's a pretty good number right there. He's completed 61% of his passes, and his 2.02 interception rate is the lowest in school history among quarterbacks with a minimum of 400 attempts.
All right, but I've watched him play.
Yeah.
I mean, stats are stats, but when I watch him play, I mean,
he's not a gamer.
I think he doesn't
come up in the big plays when we need
right.
him.
Yet.
I feel like the thing is that like our problem has never been that he's like a huge turnover guy.
Yeah.
Like our problem is that it's just the decision making. It's the accuracy in the mid range.
Well,
right?
It's
some of those kind of things.
And it was the like locking on, not going through progressions, locking on to one side of the field,
holding on
the ball too long when he doesn't have to, maybe not getting outside of the pocket when there are lanes for him. It's the decision making, like you said, and we've been tough on him because he has been here long enough. Like, he's one of the most experienced, if not the most experienced, starter in the league right now. Like, what is it? Out of 34 games played, he started 26 of those or 27?
Well, the thing
25
is,
25 of 34.
Experience only does so much when you're having the kind of turnover that he's had with the offense and at offensive coordinators. So now that he has Chaney.
All right, so what if he does? All right, this is the year then, huh? So if he doesn't do anything, are we going to give him an excuse next year? Because he's likely going to come back next year too.
Well, I mean, that's for us to figure out later. But I'm saying, right now he's had Chaney 2 years in a row. It's the first time he's had continuity at that position, and he has apparently improved. The one thing that they've really been raving about him in this offseason is his ability to read defenses and go through his progressions and make better decisions.
But much as that is true, I've read that too.
I mean, I'm not saying I believe it. I'm not saying I don't believe it. I'm just saying I expect him to at least take a jump in that area this year and be a better quarterback. And if he's not, then
But we expected him to last year, and I hate to come down the kid or feel like I'm the only one, but we expected him to take a big jump last year. And other big programs don't give us these excuses. Well, it's the turnover. I mean, like, you just put a quarterback out there that's capable and that can win games. We are Tennessee. We're acting like we're Vandy. And, like, and I know everybody's been talking about that this week, like, getting back to it, but we've been saying that for 4 or 5 years now. Like, we got to hold him accountable. We have to. I know there was turnover, but we said it last year. Well, he's coming in. He's got so much more experience. And what did we see? And we got Jim Chaney. But if we don't see it this year, we have to hold him accountable. Like, there's no more time for excuses.
That you have to hold him accountable. But, I mean, you said big programs don't make these kind of excuses. Well, big programs also don't have the constant change and the lack of – or I mean,
sometimes
the,
they
the
do
roster
because when
attrition
you're...
that Tennessee's gone through in his – in his career here so far, but I mean, he's an upperclassman. He's done all the right things. He's well respected in the locker room. He's a leader.
But I would
argue, willing to give him a chance with a completely open mind, and I believe in him. I really do. If it doesn't go well, I'll be wrong. Move on from him. So be.
But I would argue big programs, they get their coaches poached too. They have turnover. When you're doing well, you get your coaches poached. You have turnover in that aspect. So there's two sides to it. Like,
but turnover combined with just the absolute roster attrition that Tennessee's experienced as well, with just, I mean, the coaching changes that he's dealt with in his career and just the mess that was Tennessee football for a decent stint in history.
Charlie, I'm not willing to go as far as you and say that I'm buying in or that I believe in him. I'm willing to give him a chance. I'm willing to give him another chance, but I'm not going to believe it until I see it. Do y'all remember a couple weeks ago? Might have been, yeah, I guess it was a couple weeks ago. I read the article to you about Winkie's comments on JG and how he's improved, how his his decision making and all that had improved from last season to this year.
Yes,
and like you were talking about, Chance, we've heard this before. We've heard this before.
Did he say the exact same thing from the previous year?
Well, that's what I just went to look.
It was pretty close.
2018 to 2019. This is from August of 2019. This is Winky. I think the more comfortable you get in this this offense, obviously you want to see that continue to develop and grow. I'm pleased with the progress he has made. He bought into our system. This is a quarterback-friendly offense, but it also puts a lot of responsibility on the quarterback. He's done a fantastic job of grasping this and continuing to make progress. Take that for what it is.
I think this is the thing about...
I mean, granted, it is coach speak. What are they going to do, say that he sucks?
Of course not.
Yeah, I think it's hard. I think that I do fall more in line with Charlie, and I know that I have been a supporter myself. But the tough thing is that we can believe that he's going to be better going forward. But at the end of the day, it's hard to bring any evidence of that, right? There are good stats out there, and there are stats that you should pay attention to. The fact that he does have the lowest interception or touchdown ratio in school history with a minimum of 400 attempts is nothing to dismiss. That is solid. But is this going to be the year?
Yeah,
we're
like,
not going to know.
But how often, like, come on, guys. Like, how often? Charlie was just talking about Lamar Jackson last. Jerry Garantano also has a lot of dinks and dunks. He ain't really just making too much. He's not having to do too much out there as well. He's been a game manager at best, and he did improve last season. I even gave him that credit towards him. He won games that they needed him to, but he ain't out there wowing us. Like, he's a compiler, man.
That Missouri game, he threw for, what, 300-400 yards? I mean, it went off.
I can't believe we're doing it again.
There,
I mean, I won't do it.
We do it every year.
I won't do it. No, not me.
He hasn't.
I will not.
There are a lot of times he's had to just check things down because you couldn't trust the offensive line to block long enough for you to take a five-step
drop. I'm not going to win you over. You're a spin master. It's fine. But I'm just saying, I'm like Brandon. You're going to have to show me.
What were those things called? Beyblades?
The thing is, like, I'm not even that pro-Garantano. I'm just not anti-Garantano.
I'm anti-bad quarterbacks. That's what I am. And I call it a spade, man. That's what I am. I'm anti-bad quarterbacks.
Just because he's not, like, great doesn't mean he's not bad either. He sits right there in the middle.
It's the thing that, like, man, sometimes he can look really good. Well, sometimes he can look very serviceable. But then other times, It is rough. Like, you had talked about the Missouri game, Charlie. The Missouri game goes 23 of 40 for 415 yards. 1 week later, and I know it was in the rain, but six.
We're talking about Missouri!
All right, here we go. Back here on the Blitz, 10:50 a.m. Hey, something I do want to talk about later. Brandon, you were telling me yesterday that a big list came out, and I know that you were very interested in it yesterday. Do you know what I'm talking about?
A big list.
A big list. 500 items in this list.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Rolling Stone, they've released a new top 500 albums of all time. Seems like a lot, but...
That does seem like a lot. How would you even go about, like,
songs?
Starting this? No, albums.
Albums.
They have 500 albums?
No. The Rolling Stone, the mag. No. The magazine. The magazine ranked the great 500 greatest albums of all time.
Man, they so need a life. They need a life. Wow.
So at some point, I do kind of want to get into that. Maybe see if you have any big thoughts on that. But before we do, we will go over to the G3 Help Me Hotlines and get a call from Phil, who I'm sure heard our conversation in the last segment. I'm sure he ran over to his phone and picked up. He dialed 865-546-8200. Phil, only 2 days away. How you doing today?
Fabulous, fabulous, fabulous.
What's going on?
Not much. Chuck's the newest member of your crew, so is he the dumbest in the crew?
I want positivity.
You know, Phil, I had a feeling when I started talking about Garantano, you were going to call.
Well, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. And, you know, let's pretend that Gatmo can play.
Okay. I mean,
that was quick.
I'm not trying to say that he's some world beater. Everything doesn't have to be either really bad or really good. There can be slightly above average, and sometimes slightly above average can get the job done. I don't know.
I think if JG can be slightly above average consistently all year long, I think Tennessee will be in a good place.
If he's average, we're 5-5. If he's above average, you're 6-4. Now, are we going to be able to do that?
I don't know. I think that's heavily dependent on how he plays, and I mean. I know how you feel about JG, and I mean, I'm somewhere in the middle between where you and Charlie are, but I'm willing to give him another chance, and I don't know how long I'll give him before I pull the plug.
Outside,
before I'm ready to see his,
outside of Auburn, and I guess this Missouri game, and then maybe the comeback with Kentucky, like he's been. Pretty average or below average. And even when I would say he's slightly above average, which would be Auburn, I just don't know the level of the opponent is worthy. Like, it hasn't been great teams. Like, and I know that's not his fault. I mean, you play who's on your schedule. But I don't know. Consistency would be huge. If we can get consistency, we wouldn't have the issues having right now if we got any type of consistency.
One more thing before I get off here. The Cade Mays situation, has SEC actually announced it, or does Greg Sankey just say something on a radio show?
So far he's just said something on WJOX, basically saying that rules are rules, and if member institutions want to make rule changes, then they're able to do that, but as it stands right now, rules are rules.
Why didn't you say that when all these months go by and they just now saying it?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, honestly, where's the Bears battle captain in all this?
That's what we were wondering.
Quiet, isn't it?
Yeah, at the beginning of the show, because we were saying that, you know, Brandon brought up this great point saying that, hey, we know that Jeremy Pruitt has said he's reached out to the offices and everything like that. And, yeah, you would expect your head coach to be a part of those conversations. But at the same time, he has got a team of 70 players that is fluctuating that he's trying to get ready for a game on Saturday. At some point, this has got to be left up to the athletic director to really kind of say, hey, this is what we demand needs to happen. And if it's not, at least tell us something.
Yeah. Well, the problem with Tennessee athletics is they haven't had a good athletic director since Dickey. Dickey was good for all sports except basketball, but he, for football, he did an outstanding job. And ever since then, we've just, you know, been pouring gasoline on the fire and getting worse and worse.
Yeah, it's tough. But I don't know. I think at the end of the day, there's been a lot of things that we have been concerned about, or we have maybe not been as optimistic about. But I think that, hey, we're 2 days away from seeing this team on the field. And then we can finally get rid of these, you know, hypothetical questions and wondering about the future. And we're going to know, hey, how did JG look on the field against South Carolina in the first game of the season for a win that means a lot? How does the defense do? How does anybody do?
If I was a betting man, I'd say he won't look any better than he has in the first 4 years. See?
Well, golly, I hope not. Look, I am optimistic, just like I was optimistic last year. And if I need to change that at some point during the season, then I will. But until then, I am going to be optimistic about kind of what this team can do and what JG can do as the quarterback of this team. All right, got to take a break here. We are going into hour number two. And on the other side, man, you want to hear about quarterbacks. You want to hear about South Carolina. You want to know about exactly what Tennessee is going to be facing coming up this Saturday night. Then stay tuned, because we'll be talking to John Whittle of Gamecocks 247 about this South Carolina team, kind of about their strengths and deficiencies. We'll talk about new quarterback Colin Hill and much more. Hey, you want to hear this interview, to be tuned in for Saturday. Don't go anywhere.